Number 5. In Time of Peril. In the early days of Methodism, a minister by the name of John Jones was traveling on horseback through a desolate region in northern Wales. On this particular occasion, he observed a rough-looking man armed with a reaping hook following him on the other side of a hedge. Evidently, he was aiming to accost the minister at a gate a little way ahead where it would be necessary to dismount. John Jones realized that his life was in danger and stopped his horse for a moment of prayer. When he looked up, he saw that a man on a white horse was riding beside him. He told the stranger how relieved he was to have him come along just then, but received no reply. As he continued to watch the reaper, however, he saw him emerge from his concealment and run across a field. Again, he tried to make conversation with the stranger on the horse beside him, but his efforts were met with silence. Finally, he said to him, "Can it for a moment be doubted that my prayer was heard and that you were sent for my deliverance by the Lord?" And the horseman responded with a single word, "Amen." Not another word would the stranger say, but they were now approaching the gate, and the minister hurried on to dismount and open it. He waited for the man on the white horse to pass through. He didn't. He was gone. He was nowhere in sight. He couldn't have passed through the gate. His horse could not have leaped the high hedge on either side of the road. Was it all a figment of his imagination? Had there been no horse and rider at all? But how could a figment of his imagination have frightened away the intended killer? It may come as no surprise that God protects his servants, that he sends an angel guard to surround those who love him. But what of those who ignore him, doubt him, even deride him? What of those who are his enemies? Are they always outside the circle of his care? Says the Apostle Paul, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners. How often our Lord has sent his angels to protect those who were still sinners, hoping to draw them, to win them, by that undeserved love. It happened in the troubled days of the Napoleonic Wars. A forester named Grimes had been instrumental in bringing to justice a band of robbers that had brought terror to the region. Only the leader of the band was still at large, and he had sworn to have his revenge on Grimes. The forester was not a religious man. He laughed at his wife's prayers for his safety. He preferred to trust in his weapons and his dogs. One evening he was delayed in returning home, and his wife became anxious. Finally she brought the Bible and read aloud to the grandmother these words from the 71st Psalm. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Be thou my strong habitation. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." Then the two women knelt and prayed that God would protect the absent husband and themselves from danger. And they prayed for the robber whom they so much feared. They asked God to be merciful to him and to turn him from his evil ways. Shortly after they rose from their knees, the husband came home. They told him of their concern and of their prayer. But he only smiled and told them it was foolish to think it did any good to pray. He checked to see that doors and windows were securely locked, and that his weapons were at hand, and they all slept. In the morning, when they came downstairs, they found a window open, and on the table where the Bible had been lay a great, sharp knife. The Bible was gone. Evidently, someone had been in the house, and evidently the intent had been murder. The missing Bible must have had something to do with saving them, for nothing else had been taken. The wife thanked God for protection, and this time the husband didn't laugh. He could see that neither his dogs nor his guns had saved them. He began to think there was something in religion after all, and the robber was never seen or heard of in that forest again. But that isn't all the story. Sometime later, the French and the Prussians were fighting each other. Among those who fell was the forester, then a captain in the army. His men left him on the field, thinking he was dead. But a fisherman heard his groans and came to his aid. He then took him to his home, and he and his wife nursed him back to health. As he was recovering, he thought much about how his life had twice been spared, even though he had been so outspoken in his unbelief. He prayed and gave his heart to the one he had so openly doubted. When he was well enough to go home, he thanked the kind fisherman and tried to pay him for his trouble. But the fisherman refused, saying he was actually more indebted to the forester and his wife than they were to him, and that he had something that belonged to them. He then brought out the Bible that had so mysteriously disappeared. "I see you do not recognize me," he said, "but I am the robber that caused such trouble in your neighborhood, till you caught my companions and had them put in prison. I was very angry with you for this, and swore to have revenge. I crept into your house about dark one evening, intending to murder you and all your family while you were asleep. All the evening, I lay under the settee in your sitting room. Against my will, I was obliged to hear the 71st Psalm read by your wife. It had a wonderful effect on me. When I heard her prayer, I was more affected. It seemed as if an unseen hand was laid upon me to keep me from doing what I had come to do. I felt that I could not do it. All my desire was to get that book and read it." He went on, "For weeks I kept it hid in the woods near your home. The Bible was my companion, and as I read it, I saw what a great sinner I was, and what a great Savior there is in Jesus. You, Forester, trusted to your guns and dogs. They could not have helped you any. Nothing but God's word saved you. That was all that kept me from plunging my knife into your bosom. That was all that protected you then. It is all that has saved you from dying on the battlefield now. Don't thank me, but thank the merciful God who made use of his blessed word to save both you and me." Well, we were still sinners, still scoffers, still robbers. But that undeserved care, that undeserved love, that undeserved protection is not spent on scoffers and robbers alone. How often that love has been lavished upon you and me, while we were yet sinners, while we were still proud, while we thought we didn't need a Savior, while we thought we could manage nicely on our own. While we were still hurting him, he was loving us. While we were disobedient, he was still kind. While we were hurtling down the path to destruction, He still protected us. While we still shunned him, he sent his angels. Even while we refused to hear, he kept calling us back. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. 1 John 4:10. And all of us can say, if we will, we love him because he first loved us. Verse 19. Why else are the angels sent except to draw us all into the safe and happy circle of his love?